When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pod Save the King!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host Anne Gripper, and in the most bounced around episode there has ever been, our Jenny Beattie waits for you once again because Russell Myers is back.
Well, thank you. I'm not too sure whether is that a good thing?
It's always a good thing to see you, Russell. We're very delighted to have you back. And it means we'll be able to answer Roby's questions that he sent in
yes,
on the Instagram.
Yes, we've got some questions up for it.
So we'll do those a bit later on. But yes, the much trailed and very excellent coming episode.
I've heard lots about this.
We'll come in the coming weeks for the summer. So we have Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland to look at and their perspectives. Well, not the whole countries, but representatives of those countries who I have wangled into having a chat with, good friends of mine from around.
Have you started a revolution?
You've not been away that long, Russell. How are you? How have you been?
I'm all right. Yes, I'm all right. I've had some procedure on my back where I've had a big needle inserted into it, and you know, I'm pretty much tap dancing, aren't I?
We've got a little cushion in the studio. Yes. So that lovely Dan Jackson, our producer, is trying to look after.
Everybody keeps saying to me, "Oh God, you look so much better." I was like, "God, how bad did I look before?" But maybe I should have done it before and after. But I feel good. It's good to be back.
You've got a spring back in your step, and it is very good to see.
Thank you.
So, Royal Land.
Oh, gosh, yes.
There was a big visit this week.
Big visit.
President Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And they looked like they had a lovely time together.
They did. Well, they looked like brothers, people who possibly have met before. We know that they have. And it was very warm, I thought.
I guess, you know, it must be easy because they're similar generations, and it's maybe, I don't know, it's just comfortable with the weight of responsibility.
Less of like brothers, more like, you know, mates down the golf club, perhaps. There was a lot of arm patting and shaking hands and, you know, warmth of a sort of meeting, I thought was rather nice.
And was there any particular significance to the meeting? Like, why was the meeting happening?
Well, the reason is it's the NATO summit, of course, and he's on his way over, so of course he's got to stop off and refuel the plane, I'm sure. Popping into number 10 and Windsor Castle would have been well on the list if ever there was an opportunity. And when opportunities come up like this to affirm and sort of cement the special relationship, you know, they like to sort of waft that out every now and then. But it was good for him to meet the king because he didn't come to the coronation. And there's a lot of discussion about why he didn't, why he sent his wife. Not sent his wife, but Dr. Jill Biden was there as a representative of both the president and the country. So, yes, it wasn't a state visit, but they did roll out the red carpet. There was checking the guard of honour on the lawns, and it was all very warm and cordial. And then, you know, taking them in to the actual castle, showing them the artefacts, talking about sort of their green policies, climate change, both men very, very passionate about that subject. I was a bit disappointed because we didn't get, you know, a press conference or a sit down or any sort of words from either of them. We couldn't really hear what was being said. We couldn't hear at all what was being said between them. You just saw the sort of warmth exuded from both of them that they enjoyed being in each other's company. But
do you think Joe Biden's a little bit stung, you know, when he was over last time and then he came out and he started chit-chatting about what him and the Queen had been chit-chatting about, and that was really not the done thing? Does it feel like actually maybe it is a bit more the done thing now that you could chat a bit more freely about what you talked about with Charles?
Well, I suppose so. It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, Charles, you know, stating the bleeding the obvious, but Charles is a king, the monarch. He deserves the reverence and respect of the late Queen in the same job, almost. You see what I'm saying? But it just doesn't feel like that, does it? Because we know this guy. We know what he's like. It's almost like, okay, well, he's just sort of, not necessarily filling in, it's sort of the sandwich between the Queen and Prince William.
Oh, that's harsh.
And I know the filling, but that has been said before, hasn't it?
Well, isn't it more that actually we do know that Charles cares about this stuff? And one of the other questions I was going to ask, you know, obviously one of the big discussion points was Charles isn't allowed to interfere. I mean, he wasn't really meant to be interfering before, but he was slightly slightly freer to be, you know, campaigning on environment and campaigning, not just saying these things matter, but saying actually, you know, just being a bit more proactive and, I don't know, trying to drive action on it. I mean, we've seen William trying to drive action on things at the moment now in his Prince of Wales role on homelessness in particular. But, you know, Charles isn't meant to be doing that now. But is he allowed to speak to, you know, Joe Biden, a man who sets policy in America? Is he allowed to chat Joe Biden up and say, I really think you should be doing a bit less oil and a bit more solar farm?
Well, you definitely wouldn't have got the Queen doing that, would you? But I think Charles is not going to change his spots, is he? Everybody knows what he's like as a man, as a campaigner, as environmentalist. And of course, we must take that into the future as well, because you're not expecting a man who's been doing this job, let's say, for 50 years and campaigning on the same things for the same amount of time to just forget all that and say, oh, you know what, I'm wearing this hat now, so I can't change. And I know he said before, you know, I'm no fool. I mean, he's no fool in terms of writing letters to ministers and whatnot. But I think he's not going to shy away from saying, you know, these are certain policies which we should be looking to. And in the quiet moments of speaking to President Biden, I think Biden would respect him as a man and a campaigner first, rather than acknowledging him as the king.
Yeah, he'd be speaking from a position of actually a reasonable amount of knowledge.
Well, he's a world expert. I mean, you don't get people doing the address at Davos, you know, for nothing. So he's respected and he is very knowledgeable about these things. So if he's in a room with you and there's no cameras, then I'm sure they're going to be speaking very, very freely.
Or maybe it is even more important that people keep their counsel after speaking to Charles than it was after speaking to the Queen. And then there's a bit of, you know, they got the guards out again.
Yes.
Busy time for the soldiers.
It is. I mean, it's been, you know, things will die down now, won't they? Because we've got the summer recess and, is it called recess and the Royal Land.
It is for Parliament.
Yeah, I suppose we could call it recess. They're going to be going on holiday, although not Prince Andrew, for his last 2 weeks in July. I saw this week people making a bit of a meal out of it. But
Balmoral open to the public for somewhat longer than usual.
Till August the 16th, so he can't go on his holiday.
Or it'll just be a slightly shorter holiday.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure he'll still get the invitation. I'm not going to lose sleep over Prince Andrew's holiday arrangements, to be honest. But I'm sure he'll get to go. They're sort of cramming things in for the last couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll see a royal at Wimbledon over the coming days.
Another one, we did see.
Repeat
visit, yes.
But it will slow down. And then there are lots of things to look forward to that I can't talk about, starting in September. So straight after the August sort of summer break, it's going to be busy. And, yeah, I think that is probably the right time. Because I do not think, since the Queen's passing, we have seen anywhere near the activity of the royal family. I think they're working on bigger projects. Certainly the King and Queen are getting used to how Buckingham Palace still works. We're coming up to sort of, yeah, gosh, I don't suppose the anniversary of the Queen's death, they were straight into the office on day one. I'm sure there was a period of transition, but even when we're speaking about the sovereign grant a week or so ago, they were still talking about a very transitional year. This is the year where things were quite slow moving. They have to get used to the whole mechanism of how Buckingham Palace worked and what it is to be the monarch. You know, they're talking about the conversations you may have, what you can speak about, what replies to letters or whatnot you may do on a day-to-day basis. So
and the round of duties that
absolutely
come around, like, you know, you have to meet the Prime Minister every week. And
well, all these audiences that you get has met, you know, world leaders, the, you know, governor generals and people who are flying in and on their way to somewhere else, pit stopping to see him. This is a business of the monarch. It's very, very different to being the Prince of Wales, as he has found out.
It's like when you've got a new house and initially everybody wants to come see you and check it out. And then after that, it all calms down and you can get on with life.
Well, I mean, you can't see our house. There's still boxes in it a year later.
Have to come down and have an ice cream.
You sure do.
Seaside.
Yeah, we're like living like the borrowers. So it's just ridiculous.
But it was quite fun. You know, Joe Biden was very happy to have a nice chat with the soldiers and have a little bit of a hurry along.
Oh, okay. Well, Charles was sort of, you know, practically dragging him by the end. Come on. I mean, Joe Biden is, he likes to stop and have a chat.
It's nice to have stop and have a chat with people. It's a good thing. you were here a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about the royal family's finances. You just mentioned it there. We did have a couple of good messages in from listeners on
Instagram. Oh, I should have looked at these Instagram. Before we've sat down. This is like a test,
Spock
isn't it?
Quiz.
Oh, God, I don't do well on these.
So Kim Gosling, who I actually missed a message from her a little while back, who sent me a very nice picture of King Charles sort of legging it, looking very active. And it was a picture of his back. She said it was at Windsor Castle today, visiting from Australia, and was not expecting to see King Charles, not quick enough getting my camera out of my bag. Two laughing, crying faces. So that was her message from back in May. But she also suggested that maybe I was being a bit harsh, saying that Charles should turn the thermostat down in the rooms that don't have people in. She said, I presume most rooms in the castles would have very expensive artwork, which would need to be kept at a constant temperature for presentation reasons, just like any art gallery. So 16 degrees is probably not unreasonable for lesser used rooms. So that is a really good thought, Kim. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing the picture as well. I very much enjoyed it. And I hope you had a fantastic time on your visit to Windsor. Now, spot quiz for Russell. Let's see how much Russell really knows about the royal family and the money, which is the tough bit.
It's very tough.
I mean, we could do a different quiz, which would be about what they wear.
Or you could have done me a favour and shown me the questions.
I sent you the questions 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no, gosh.
Before you were off.
Okay, here we go.
But you've been busy. So Roby says, as an American, I have questions about the royal family's finances. Number one, does the money actually come from taxes paid by subjects, or is the Crown Estate not money that subjects pay?
Now, the sovereign grant is from, I mean, it's all our money, isn't it? So the Crown Estate profits are given to the government and then giving a percentage back. So the argument is, I suppose it's not that simple, because the argument is that the royal family's money and they've done us all a favour by giving us
it's
all
basically
their,
the agreement we don't have a revolution.
By saying, we'll give you this money, but we'll take a percentage of it back. And George Osborne gave them more money. And of course, there's a big resurfacing of Buckingham Palace that we, the taxpayer, are paying for to the tune of about 370 million. But you could argue that it is the royal family's money, but you could equally argue saying, well, this is, you know, stolen lands from centuries ago that they have no business in having or keeping. So I'm gonna sit on the fence on this one, because it is, I think it's a complex issue. I think you can say it's taxpayers' money.
So it's like it's sort of like a tax rebate for the royal family.
Yes,
to a certain extent.
And
if that money wasn't given back to the royal family, taxpayers
would have it. But their argument is, of course, that they need money to, in order to
be
for the royal family, you know, go on trips and do all this sort of the welcoming and keep the palaces and the castles all pristine and prima proper. However, then it's further complicated by the Duchy of Lancaster, which is the private money of the sovereign, and the Duchy of Cornwall, which is the private finances of the Prince of Wales, which has now been passed over to William. And again, we saw how, you know, the intricacies of that it was in £24 million profit. Charles took £12 million for himself. William took £12 million, but gave £6 million back.
So I think we sort of semi-answered it maybe, but let's get it precise. Does the country own the Crown Estate? And is the country entitled to that money?
Now, this is the one I did look at, because we were speaking about this a few weeks ago, and I did look this up, and I found it just now, right? So it's complicated, because the Crown Estate is not the private property of the king, which surprised me, because I thought, you know, maybe the monarchy owned the Crown Estate. Now, it says, our assets are hereditary, which is the Crown Estate, are hereditary possessions of the sovereign held in right of the crown. This means that the sovereign owns them for the duration of their reign, but cannot be sold by them, nor do their revenues from the assets belong to them. Now, that is interesting, because the UK government doesn't own the Crown Estate either, and it stretches all the way back to 1760, and that was George III. Now, he had basically handed over land and property to the government, which was kind of before the sovereign grant. It was called the Civil List. Handed over all these in order for income to the government in return for a fixed salary. And that is what the sovereign grant is today. So if there was a revolution, could the monarchy, could the king sell the Crown Estate? Well, no, it doesn't look like that. So, or you know, you could say he's worth all this money, but it would be quite difficult for Charles to sell up and move on. So maybe that is the reason why they do pocket you know, money from the duchies of Lancaster and Cornwall, because in case there was a revolution, they might be in need of a few quid to set up homes. But it is a complex issue, because on the headline figures, you look at it and you think, oh, the royal family are actually worth quite a lot of money, and then it's a complex issue.
So right. Revolution, not yet had one of those. Would be a rather busy working day for you, unless you were joined on it. You might have to join.
Who knows? I might be in it. Who knows what's going to happen the next few years? It's been a topsy-turvy couple of years.
I can't cope with this anymore. You've all got to go. To
riding a horse through London.
I am your new king. But if a republic was installed, would the royal family retain the crown estate?
No, because it is a separate entity. The crown estate is not managed by the UK government, and it is not managed by the crown, the monarchy. So because it was given over to the government in order to make as much money as possible, which is still its primary purpose, then it would be separate. And it is separate as well to the two duchies. So you've got Lancaster and Cornwall that make separate incomes for the royal family. But that is their money. And we could talk all day about whether that is their money or their land as well.
Right. I've come up a bit harder against this question number four. How does the roughly $2 per person compare to what the US spends on security for the president? It's a bit difficult. The cost of the president are slightly complicated, because you don't just pay for the current one. You have to keep paying for the previous ones. It's like us and all of our prime ministers, where the bill, I mean, never mind inflation, the cost of looking after former prime ministers has shot up rather a lot in the UK in the last couple of years, given we've gone through them at a rate of knots, and they get an office and things forever and ever and ever. So I'm afraid I haven't managed to find an answer to that one.
I bet it's the cost of being or looking after the president far outweighs the daily looking after the royal family, right? Was it 100 million quid? It's what, $150 million?
Plenty.
Yeah, no chance. I bet they're flying around on Air Force One. I bet it costs that to fill it up every time. And the beast, to carry the beast.
So we got somewhere, hopefully, with the Crown Estate to clear things up a little bit. But yes, I think it's fair to say we all have some questions about the royal family's finances. But hopefully that provides a bit of an answer. And it is always interesting to have a little pick through.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What else has been going on? Now that we've managed to deal with the complicated mess that is the royal family's finances, I'm going to share something slightly questionable with you all, that if you watched the Formula One at the weekend, you may or may not have noticed.
Long to reign over us, God save the
Yes, that was Damian Lewis.
Is that Elvis?
No.
Is Elvis in the building?
It's Damian Lewis of Homeland. Gosh. And general acting fame.
What are you doing? Busking?
Clearly doing the Jubilee pageant last summer's rather gone to his head, or playing King Henry VIII or something. Anyway, but it was him and a saxophone singing. I mean,
I did see it. I'm being facetious, but I thought it was ridiculous.
The faces on the drivers when they're having to watch this as well.
Who's the chap from Eurovision? Sam something. You know who he is.
Oh yeah, the one with the long hair.
Yes, he did the year before. I saw him. He's brilliant.
Better.
Yeah, get much worse.
It is a trick. I mean, ours is a tricky anthem, I think, at times. But that was, I mean, well done, Damien, for giving it a go. I'm sure you really enjoyed it. So that's the main thing. I'm glad you had a good time. Other things on the sporting front, or things that we've enjoyed. Nice loving at the polo. We were looking forward to it when we recorded last Thursday. I enjoyed Kate's outfit. Reminded me of the Wedgwood again, a bit like remembering back to the tour, I think, of Singapore. She had like a blue and white type outfit that always makes me think of nice Wedgwood pottery.
Good one for the the body language, body therapist, whatever they're called.
Body therapist, that's what you've been having.
I have been, yeah.
Judy James, body language expert situation, yeah, yeah. That one?
Yes.
Why?
Well, a lot of PDA going on.
It does feel like it's probably the main event of the year where they sort of relax and they're a bit sort
Let
of
the hair down.
Romantic. Kate got on the bubbles as well.
Which I is saw.
Like, I mean...
You know, because they don't normally... I mean, you get those awkward images of them supping a pint and... Yeah. Looking at the camera.
She's definitely not Prosecco, just champagne lady.
Oh, it's not Prosecco, darling, come on.
So, yeah. Anyway, looked like they had a great time. Does William always win? Is that essentially how it works?
I can't imagine he's going to lose. But fair enough, £1 million for charity. Big round of applause, because that's an incredible amount of money, incredible feat as well for the charities. But surely he's going to win.
Every yeah. time. Well, it means he gets a kiss.
I've got, well, you know.
Which is what everybody wants to see.
Play up to the cameras. I mean,
it's not wedding day snogs, but it's a lovely thing for them to share and look like they have a good time. And there was a video that came out as well of William on the Windsor Walkabout. I don't know whether this has just sort of resurfaced and was kicking around at the time and I missed it, but a little boy being like, how long until we're able to see Prince William? Like, William's literally standing there. He's sort of not realised who he is. And William's like, little wink, oh, we don't know where he is. Have you seen him yet? And just playing along. It's like, well, this little boy thinks he's the government before finally realising actually it's William. So that's all very cute. We were talking a bit earlier about the Duchy of Cornwall and William making kind of new plans for it. He went to the Duchy of Cornwall nursery, which is in a place called Lostwithiel. So not my bit of Cornwall, but it does sound rather nice. And they do Camel Valley Fizz with their afternoon tea, which is the nice Cornish sparkling wine, which is very delicious. So I might have to go visit.
Is Cornwall jam and cream? Jam and cream?
Jam first, yep.
I can't deal with this.
Oh my goodness. We had this debate last time around as well.
I tried it as well.
You can fit more cream on
my little
more
one
jam
went,
and more cream if you do
my
it
little
way
one went to a party and brought me back a little goodie bag with some.
Is that how it works these days? That I thought the goodie
oh,
bags
no,
were for the children.
She's always got instructions of, you know, what's in the goodie bag, and it was actually her cousin's party, so they came back with some sandwiches and like little mini buffet, and there was some clotted cream, some jam, and I tried it. I just can't do that. I've got to go cream first.
No.
Respect to the Devonites.
No, I'm with
what
Devonite, I'm
what
with
people
Kate.
From Devon called?
I don't know.
Oh, the Devonites now. So.
Not quite Cornish.
Yes. what are we talking about?
Williams.
Cornwall. So oh, yeah, we're doing loads
of
stuff
in
Cornwall.
We are in Devon because Dartmoor
is
Devon.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But it's part of the Duchy of Cornwall.
Yeah, well, might. Well,
confusing that, isn't it? But he's expanding, they're doubling the size of the Wisman Forest. It's rather nice.
They are.
So clearly all the environmental stuff going on. And also actually not long before we came into the studio to record, there was a W signed tweet, which as we know is one that
yes.
William is something that William particularly cares about and sort of said, yeah, I want to send this is an important thing and be something a bit personal. So brave and inspirational at Delhi official, discussing mental health is not a sign of weakness. Let's keep the conversation going. We're all with you and we wish you the very best. So that was retweeting a very emotional interview between Gary Neville, England's sort of legend of English football, and Manchester United, who's become a very, a major analyst, I guess, TV pundit, but is now doing interviews as well. And this latest one is with Dele Alli, who has been a really successful English footballer and sort of
lost his way a little bit over the last few years, but incredible talent. And he's 27 now. He's come back to Everton, sort of Liverpool, City rivals. And he's definitely had a difficult spell, not only in his playing career, but in his life. And talking to Gary Neville, who's a, as you said, celebrated footballer and commentator and presenter. Some real difficult moments, talking about how he was abused at 6 years old. He has an addiction to sleeping pills. He's had a tough, tough time. It's a very, very heart-rending watch. And I think that the fact that William has identified that and using his platform to obviously highlight the interview, but I'll also highlight the wider message of mental health, is something that certainly should be applauded. And you can only watch that interview and wish him all the best.
Absolutely. Continuing on the sporting theme, Camilla headed to Wimbledon. She looked like she had a great day
out.
Patted the search dog. I mean, it probably not to be recommended unless you are the queen. I don't know. Well, they're quite friendly and chilled out at Wimbledon most of the time, although everyone is on alert for the old just stop oil and the orange dust going everywhere and general invasions. But Camilla revealed, so the queen revealed that apparently she was a ball girl at Queen's Club.
Yes,
she said when she was chatting with the ball girls and boys, she was like, you have to be very agile. I remember doing it 100 years ago at Queen's. It's quite difficult. So I quite enjoy her very self-deprecating reference to her age there as well. And just being sort of just quite...
Yeah, it's a lovely... It's not like something that she'd boast about or it's slipped in somewhere. It's just a conversation to... with one of the ball girls, and we would have never known. I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's like it's not 100% clear, I guess, whether she was doing it like professionally, whether she was just doing it for some game that was happening at Queen's Club where you're there playing tennis. Yeah, but either way. Also, Mike and Zara Tyndall, they're having the best summer. They're just going to everything.
Not a bad gig. Well, they're at Glastonbury as well. They're at some festival.
They were at Isle of Wight. They were definitely at. Yeah. I don't know whether they're at Glastonbury or not.
What a summer already.
I know.
Killing it.
Grand Prix, all of it. So all of that is going on. One more message to share from a listener, a message from Amanda. She says, hi Pod Save, I would like to recommend a great read for your American cousins and anybody else who probably is not England based, called Put the Kettle On by Trish Taylor. It's an American's guide to British slang, telly and tea. Quick read and would love to know what you think. I found it helpful when listening to the pod. So I think we throw a bit of slang in there. So hopefully we mainly make sense to people. But love the pod. Thanks so much. So thanks, Amanda, for that lovely message. And glad you found the international Russell translator.
I mean, I'm not sure what I'm going on about most of the time. So
stateside, Harry and Meghan did get a nomination on the Hollywood Critics Awards.
Another one. I mean, nobody will know that reference, but... it's a gift now, isn't it?
Oh, from the poll. A lady of us.
Oh, yeah, told about the election. And she said, not another one. I feel like this when I hear about Harry and Meghan's awards.
You're just jealous. We've not been nominated for anything for a couple of years.
We haven't even put in for any of them.
But we did win. We won a couple of years ago. We still got the trophy. I ought to lend it to you sometime.
I think it's still on my Twitter or something, award-winning podcast. But we are.
Can't take it away from us. No. We did win it. But they missed
what
out.
What is this one?
Hollywood Critics Award in the category of Best Streaming Non-Fiction Series. But they missed out on an Emmys nomination.
For what? For the Netflix series. Okay.
For the Netflix. Right. So good luck to them.
Well, it did great numbers, didn't it?
It did. I mean, you know.
Bit of a horror show for the royal family, but we've been there, I think. I think we've recovered from all of this, haven't we? I don't want to hear about it again. I just feel like...
Does it feel like it stopped? Do you think they have drawn a line under it?
No,
or do you think it's going to come back around? I feel like they need. I feel like in the same way we were talking about the royals taking a break and getting everything in order and working out what their plan is and come back in September. Are the Sussexes sort of in the same?
I think
position?
They've had a lot of issues. You know, the embarrassment of the Spotify contract being cancelled. I mean, who knows? But it was just they both walked away from by mutual agreement. I don't necessarily say we can say it's cancelled, but. Is Netflix going to be renewed? When's the Invictus documentary coming out? Even though that should be great. What are the projects in the pipeline? The fact that Bill Simmons absolutely rubbished them. I mean,
the Invictus series should be great. Like Invictus, yeah, is
and
such
Invictus
a
is
great...
coming up in Dusseldorf. So will it tie in with that? Maybe. I just think they need to take stock. What do they want to be? Do they want to go and save the world? Great. Use your platform. Do that. Be famous. Nobody's begrudging you that. But there's something about just absolutely trying to devastate the other side of the family and knowing that they haven't got any say in the matter. It's just, I think people found it a bit unfair.
So we'll see what happens next. Look forward to, they are both talented people who care about stuff and have a platform. So it would be great to see them doing good things.
Sure, nobody's going to begrudge them that, because with a platform like that, good things can only come from a charitable sense. Yep. You know, money, spotlight, getting things done, that's going to be absolutely incredible. And there's what they said they left to do, not all the noise.
But then you've got to fund it. So anyway, it's all a bit tricky. They need their own crown estate, but
don't we all?
Anyway, but one podcast which is continuing is Fergie's.
Yes,
she sounds like she's having a really nice time doing it.
Well, she is, and I think I've written in my newsletter today about how, after all the noise of the last couple of years, right, it's nice to just have Fergie speaking about the Queen's dogs and her being happy. I mean, the bravery that she's dealt with her cancer diagnosis is absolutely commendable. Being completely selfless, saying, you know, this isn't necessarily about me, it's trying to raise awareness, even though she's in the belly of the beast in her recovery period. And she's talking, you know, that the fact that she can just get about and go and walk the dogs finally, and the dogs are happy, and they're talking about the fact that she took them to this place in the Windsor Estate where the Queen used to take them. And I think that that's just really heartwarming.
It's very human.
And we don't
well.
Need all the shouting and stuff, do we, at the moment? The sun is trying to shine outside, and let's all just be a bit happier.
Let's be a bit happier. Well, I've been very happy to hang out with you again, Russell. Just, it's always nice lovely. To see you. Listeners, I do apologise for inflicting Damien Lewis on you. I don't apologise for inflicting Russell Myers on you. And it's been lovely having you with us again this week. But until next time.
Pod save the king!
We're having good ones today, you're right. Only water, you're right?
Only water, yeah. Just remembering
it's
the bit.
It's all over your chair.
That's fine. That's all over my dress, fine. Just remember the bit earlier where Dan said about doing it in one take. Oh, dear. Right. Okay.